Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the show four highly talented, extremely humorous and witty players of the game. So will you please welcome, in no order of seniority, Graham Norton, Jenny Eclair, Tim Rice and Tony Hawks, all four of them. As usual, I am going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from that subject. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep the score, and she will blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Turner Sims Concert Hall in the University of Southampton. And we have before us a highly literate, intelligent university audience, mingling with some of the fine burghers of Southampton and places further afield, like Portsmouth. And we're going to start the show this week with Tony Hawks. Tony, the subject, oh, what a lovely one to start with, bananas. Tell us something about bananas in Just a Minute, starting now.
Do you know, I have never seen a straight banana, but this may be because I mainly hang around in gay banana clubs. In my opinion, though, it is fair to say the banana is possibly the funniest of all fruits. It's...
Tim Rice has challenged.
A deviation, I think pineapples are hilarious.
I think it's a lovely comment, but have you got a challenge with the rules of Just a Minute, Tim?
Deviation.
No. Listen, I tell you what I'll do. I'll be generous. I'll give you a bonus point because the audience enjoyed the remark, but I don't think it was devious within the rules of Just a Minute. So, Tony, you have a point for an incorrect challenge. You keep the subject, and there are 43 seconds left. Bananas starting now.
If I say pineapple now, it'll be interesting to watch how funny Tim Rice.
Jenny Eclair, you challenged.
I've got it wrong. I think he said funny and funniest. So actually, Tony, you're right. I'm so sorry.
I get a point.
Keep going. You're doing ever so well.
It's just lovely to hear from you,
Good
Jenny.
Good luck.
All that happens is he gets another point for an incorrect challenge and he keeps the subject. And 33 seconds, bananas, Tony, starting now.
If you remove a banana skin and toss it onto the floor, what hilarious consequences may follow if you hide...
Jenny, a challenge again.
Hilarious. He did say hilarious.
He did say
twice.
Hilarious before.
Yes.
So, well, listen, Jenny, you have the subject, because you have a point, of course, for a correct challenge as well. You have 30 seconds to tell us something about bananas, starting now.
Full of potassium. I like them long and firm, with a greenish tinge, perhaps with a splash of carnation milk, because I have a very sophisticated palate. As the others have said, a very amusing...
Tim Rice challenge.
Two berries.
Yes, you said very before. Tim, a correct challenge to take over the subject is bananas. 17 seconds available starting now.
Even funnier than the banana or pineapple is the kumquat, which is an extremely obscure fruit that I have on many occasions dipped in.
Graham Norton challenge.
But that is deviation now, isn't it?
Why?
Because he's talking about kumquats.
So he's deviating. Graham, you've got him with 8 seconds to go, having got a point, of course. Correct challenge. Bananas is with you, starting now.
In the bird world, a canary was kicked out of the feathered police force for corruption. And I thought, how like a banana, yellow and bent.
So everybody scored points in that round, and whoever speaks when the whistle goes gets an extra point. It was Graham Norton, so he has two, Tim has two, Tony has two. And Jenny has won. Tim, will you take the next round? The subject is A Small World. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
It is indeed a small world, this tiny globe on which we live. But there are some even smaller, viz. Mercury, Venus, the Moon, or Mars. But let's go back to our own little place here, because if you ever plan to motor west, just take my way. It's the highway. It's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66. It winds from Chicago to LA, more than 2,000 miles all the way. Get...
Jenny, you've challenged.
Well, he's gone mad. I saw him drinking in the green room. Wasn't that a slight deviation? Wasn't he just going on about roads?
I was illustrating what a small world it was by the fact that one road can take you anywhere, man.
Actually, I don't think he was... Jenny, I don't think he was deviating...
Give it him from... back. Give him back the ball.
No, he's got the ball. He hasn't lost it yet, Jenny. It's still a small world with Tim. And, Tim, there are 32 seconds available starting now.
It is indeed a small world.
Tony, Hawke's challenge.
Repetition of indeed.
You said indeed before.
How you started the first time.
Tony, you've got a correct challenge, another point in 30 seconds, and a small world starting now.
I've always liked the line by the US comedian Stephen Wright, who said, "It's a small world, but I wouldn't want to paint it." And how true that is. If one considers the amount of labour that would be required for the said task, it could take 2 or 3 weeks, depending on how arduous a worker you were. Of course, most people say it's a small world when they bump into somebody at an airport or somewhere like that.
Tim Rice.
I thought he was going to do somewhere twice, but he didn't, did he?
Yes.
I like the way people cave in as soon as they challenge.
It's these anticipatory challenges which are fascinating. Tim, an incorrect challenge, but Tony, another point. And 3 seconds still, a small world starting now.
Hello, Bob. I didn't expect to see you here. I thought that you...
Tony Hawks was on a roll there and kept going to the whistle when gained that extra point for doing so and gained other points in the round, so he's taken the lead at the end of that round. Graham Norton, your turn to begin. The subject is commercials. Tell us something about commercials in just a minute, starting now.
Watching a commercial recently, I was attracted to a product that promised me that my toilet could smell like a forest glade. I purchased said thing, and sure enough, it did smell like a wooded...
Jenny Chow.
Smell.
There were too many smells. 45 seconds, Jenny. You had a correct challenge. Commercials starting now.
You do loads of commercials, Graham Norton. You do windy.
Tim challenge.
Two you-dos.
You do.
Yeah.
42 seconds for you, Tim, on commercials starting now.
I've been approached many times to advertise or plug something, but have always refused, because I regard this as a degradation.
Jenny challenge.
Oh, he stuttered and spluttered and dribble came this out of his mouth. Hesitation.
Not quite, darling.
Do you not think?
He's in the middle of a war.
It's
tough enough to keep going. He was teetering on the verge of stuttering, but no, degradation just about came out without a hesitation.
Okay.
So I give him the benefit of the doubt. 33 seconds available. Commercials starting now.
I saw a program the other night called The 100 Best Commercials of All Time. It went on and continued all through the
evening.
Tony,
you challenged.
Well, I buzzed over him saying on for the second time.
No.
Did you say it?
No, I was
extremely clever.
What
did you say?
He set you up for that one.
On and continued, I think.
And he did. He did not repeat on, and it's 24 seconds still with you on commercials, Tim, starting now.
The commercial that I thought was the best of the lot and should have been at number one was the one where the dog and the cat and the mouse all walk up to the fire to the strains of the Shirelles singing "Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow?" Let us go back to 1961 and relive that wonderful song. Tonight you're mine completely. You freak your love so sweetly. I see the magic of your eyes, but... And then the title comes in again.
Tim Rice was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, and also others in the round has leapt forward. He's now equal in the lead with Tony Hawks. And Tony, it's your turn to begin. A Stitch in Time. That's the subject. Talk on it. 60 seconds are available, starting now.
Despite turning the music up very loud and listening to the rhythm and tapping with my feet, I still find it very difficult to stitch in time. And this is important if you want to sew rhythmically, which has always been my ambition, sad though I am. A stitch in time saves 9, but what? We don't know. It could be golden eagles, whales, beavers, fish. I could go on for hopefully a minute on this side, but I won't because... We all know the real meaning of this expression. If one... Hello?
Graham Norton challenge, yes, Graham.
Well, the broadcast was interrupted. Interference on the line.
Right, hesitation. Fine, you have the subject. A stitch in time, Graham. You have 20 seconds, starting now.
Some words should never be seen together, such as fun and run. I find there nothing amusing about that sport, and so I always hope that I will find it too difficult to...
Jenny Chan.
Where was that going?
I had to stop you or shoot you.
Why? What's your challenge within the rules of just a minute, Jenny?
Well, he was going on about... Oh, I don't know. What were you talking about, Graham? Did it have anything to do with a stitch in time?
Yeah, actually, I was about to get to that.
I know. So I thought he was deviating around the houses.
He hadn't gone long enough to get to the subject, so he was deviating from the subject, Jenny. So you do have a correct challenge, and you've cleverly got in with 3 seconds to go. And you start now.
A stitch in time saves 9. Well, what's that all about?
So Jenny Eclair speaking as the whistle wen gained an extra point and has moved forward. She's only 2 points behind our joint leaders Tim Rice and Tony Hawkes, and Graham Norton follows 1 point behind. Tim Rice, your turn to begin. The subject is Mars. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I'd like to divide my talk on Mars into 5 parts. First, I would deal with the atmosphere, which is pretty slim. If you're out there on the surface of the red planet, you won't get a lot of heavy breathers because there isn't very much air to breathe. Mars is tiny, 4,125 miles in diameter, and 2 little moons or satellites nip around it regularly. The inner one is called Phobos, the outer...
Graham has challenged.
I so don't want to know this. What do you mean? I could be learning a second language, but there won't be room. Because in the bit of my brain, I know that there's something called Phobos floating around Mars.
It is a little bit like the sky. It is a bit like the sky at night on Just a Minute, isn't it? From that distinguished astronomer, Sir Tim Rice. But he wasn't deviating in any way from Mars. And you're absolutely right about his Phobos and others, their little satellites up there. So, Tim, an incorrect challenge, another point to you and Mars. 34 seconds starting now.
Not many people know that the Mars bar was actually named after a bloke from America called Mars. You might have thought that it was just a brilliant name thought up by...
Tony Challenge.
I'm being very pedantic here, but he said not many people know that, and I think millions of people know that.
First of all, I don't think millions do know it, and secondly, he was using it as a sort of figure of speech, so I don't think he was really deviating from
the
subject.
Can you prove that millions of people don't know it?
No, I can't, but I don't think it matters in this game whether I have to or not. So, Tim, benefit of the doubt, you have Mars. 24 seconds still, starting now.
I'd like to say what terrific chairmanship we have tonight. We're giving...
Graham Challenge.
That has to be some sort of deviation.
I will give you a bonus point because the audience enjoyed the challenge, but he wasn't deviating from the subject of Mars. 21.
He was rambling about you. What are you suddenly now? A red planet floating above the Earth? You're a man in a chair.
Well, you're in a chair.
Threw it in again as a figure of speech. He wasn't making it that I was anything to do with Mars. He just commented...
Exactly, but he's supposed to be talking about Mars.
Occasionally I do bow to the superior wisdom and judgment of the audience. And seeing what an aggressive audience they are... I'm going to give Graham the benefit of the doubt on this occasion. Say, Graham, you have 21 seconds on Mars, starting now.
It must be very difficult to live on Mars, the red planet. One would awake in the morning and think, what to wear that doesn't clash with the face? That pink shirt's out for a start. But I wore the black thing yesterday and I haven't had time to wash it, and also no water.
Tim, the challenge again.
Well, you would have had time to wash it because a day on Mars is considerably longer.
I'd just like to add that there is water on Mars.
There is water, yes. He could wash it, but he said that he wouldn't have the time to wash it.
Yes, I was busy.
Listen, our astronaut...
As long as the day was, I was busier than that.
You had the benefit of the doubt last time, Graham. Tim has the benefit of the doubt this time. So 3 seconds for you, Tim, on Mars. Starting now.
Your chairmanship gets even better.
But... I think we've discussed that before. And also, repetition of chairmanship.
Graham, another point in 1 second on Mars, starting now.
Mars!
So Graham Norton, with his erudite comments about Mars, has leapt forward in that round, including getting one from the whistle went. He's now just ahead of Tony Hawks. He's two behind Tim Rice, and Jenny Eclair is in fourth place, and she begins the next round. Jenny, the subject is crying over spilt milk. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I wouldn't bother crying over spilt milk, spilt vodka. Oh, I'd weep over that. If it fell out of my shopping bag and smashed all over my front step, I'd be down there licking it up. The last time I cried over...
Graham, you challenge.
What's a repetition of...
Yes, it was. Graham, 50 seconds on crying over spilt milk, starting now.
The last time I cried over spilt milk was in 1974. Oh, I remember it well and hope to tell you about it now if I can just pick out the precise details of the incident. I think I was living in a small cottage outside of Cork. Milk was scarce in those days. There was only one cow for the entire community. I had but a thimbleful for my breakfast that morning, I recall. My mother looked at it enviously, but I said, "Back off, old woman! It's mine!" Then, it must have been karma, I reached to turn off the radio and knocked over the small thimble. It crashed.
Tony, you challenged.
Well, I thought he repeated thimble.
He did repeat thimble.
No,
and he kept going. He kept going for 46 seconds, too. And you got him with 4 seconds to go with the correct challenge. Crying over spilt milk with Tony, starting now.
It's no use in crying over spilt milk unless you're being paid by the hour, because I can't see the...
So, Tony Hawks had the whistle then and got the extra point. He's moved forward. He's one behind our leader, Tim Rice, and he's equal with Graham Norton. Jenny Clare is only just behind them. And Tony, your turn to begin. The subject, daytime TV. So tell us something about it, Tony. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
A few years ago, they attempted to do a daytime TV version of Just a Minute, and it wasn't a complete success. This was largely put down to the fact that Nicholas Parsons is far too handsome for television. Fortunately,
Jenny Eclair Judge.
I made a horrible mistake. I'm so sorry.
You don't think I am handsome enough for television?
No, I think you're gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought he said television twice, but he's allowed. Because it's in the thing, isn't it? Television.
No, TV's in the...
Ah! So I win.
Yes, sir.
Can I just say
you do win,
Jen. You would win if I'd said it twice, but I said daytime TV the first time.
He did, I'm afraid, yes.
Did he? So close. Okay.
Right, so close. So, Jenny, well tried. But, Tony, you've still got daytime TV. 46 seconds starting now.
I quite like 50.
Jenny.
Hesitation. Yeah. Tim told me to do that. He whispered in my ear, he said, "Get him on hesitation."
I meant last time.
You've got to wait till I hesitate, then do it. Yeah.
Yes, he did hesitate the previous time, but you can't have retrospective challenges. So another point to Tony in 45 seconds, daytime TV, starting now.
I feel Jenny Eclair wants to get in so much, I'm going to repeat Jenny Eclair and give her a chance.
And Graham Norton's got in.
Was there a repetition of Jenny Eclair?
You're so smart and quick.
Oh, yeah. I thought you'd said it the first time, yes.
So, Graham, you got in first, even though Jenny's name is repeated. 39 seconds starting now.
Daytime TV is so educational. Without it, I wouldn't have known how to stencil. I'd have looked at a cushion and not known how to scatter it. Look at a rug and I would have said, "No, look twice now," but there you go.
Yes, Jenny, you've chased your challenge. What was it? He repeated, "I would not know."
Yes, he did.
Of course he did. So, I'm well listened, Jenny. You got in there like a flash. Right, you have 28 seconds on daytime TV starting now.
My mother doesn't approve daytime television. She thinks it's morally wrong, which is why my father, even though he's 70, has to watch Hannah Gordon's Watercolour Classroom in secret.
When you do get in, you don't have to go
quite
so fast.
I got overexcited.
Graham, you've got back in again, yes.
Yeah, there was a gobbledygook hesitation.
Daytime TV is back with you with 21 seconds, Graham, starting now.
Thanks to daytime TV, we understand that Americans are fat, angry people. They really don't get on, do they? I'm very nervous about traveling to that great country now that I've seen them on daytime TV. Daytime TV features many daytime TV programs that deal with sort of daytime.
So Graham Norton, with number of round points in the round, as well as one for speaking as the whistle went, has leapt forward and he's now taken the lead. He's one ahead of Tim Rice. Who's one ahead of Tony Hawks, who is three or four ahead of Jenny Eclair. And it's anybody's contest, if you're interested in the contest, but the fun is more important.
Is it? I've lost.
But your contribution has been invaluable, and that's what we're here for, my love. Your contribution.
I'm so hot.
The next subject is the Minute Waltz. And Tim, it's your turn to begin, so will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
The Minute Waltz is a wonderful piece of music written by Chopin, who was very famous for starring in novels about sex and shopping. He was an extremely talented pianist. Not only was he a great composer, he could tickle the ivories like no man. He was...
Tony Challenge.
Aren't you supposed to tinkle them?
No, he tickled them.
He tickled... What's the point of tickling a piano? Everyone knows pianos aren't tickly.
It's up to you to interpret as you wish. You can tickle
Chopin
the ivories.
Well, Chopin never tickled the piano, ivories. I promise you.
Or you can pickle the ivories. Whatever you want to do with it. No,
right.
Tim, he's a master of the spoken word with his great ability with lyrics and so forth. So he's tinkled and tickled.
Do you guys live together or something?
I've seen some of the musicals which he's written, and I'm deeply impressed. But I just like the different phraseology. So an incorrect challenge, Tim. You've still got it, and you've always had it. But I mean, you've still got the challenge.
They're in love.
But in this show, you have 44 seconds to tell us more about the Minute Waltz, starting now.
Every time this program, chaired so wonderfully by Nicholas Parsons, is launched on Radio 4, you hear the strains of the Minute Waltz. A superb piece of...
Tony Challenge.
I think you said piece of music before.
That's right. You did, Tony.
I didn't get as far as music.
No, but would say you had.
A piece of that. So, Tony, you have... So, Tony, you've got him with the correct challenge. 35 seconds. The Minute Waltz starting now.
I tried to play the Minute Waltz on the piano after initially tickling the keys for a while and realizing that this was futile. But I'm not a very good pianist, and so it took me 45 minutes to play it, which was disappointing because after 10 or so of these periods of...
Jenny,
you're
definite hesitation.
You need to emphasize it. It was hesitation.
He completely ran out of what
and
he was going to say.
Subject,
he couldn't say anything else, could he? He just completely lost it, didn't he? Do you remember? Yeah. When he just kind of ran out of steam, and it was really embarrassing, wasn't it? Oh, God, I loved it.
Yeah. You loved it most of all because you've got in with
What's
the correct
the subject?
It is the Minute Waltz. Take a breath and don't go with too much of a rush. You've only got 15 seconds, and I think you can do it. The Minute Waltz, 15 seconds, starting now.
The Minute Waltz, not to be confused with the Minute Waltz, a dance for very small people under 5'2". I can't dance with anyone for longer than a minute because I do untold damage there.
Well, Jenny Eclair was speaking. I don't know why someone didn't have her for deviation speaking from her normal mode of speech, but anyway, they didn't. Jenny, you kept going. You've obviously got the audience entirely behind you. They'd love you to win, and we're entering the last round. I don't think it's possible, but... and Jenny, it is your turn to begin, and the subject is Jane Austen. So tell us something about Jane Austen in just a minute, starting now.
There was a girl at my school called Jane Austen. Huge beast of a woman. Fat of calf, massive of thigh. Great hockey player. I can see her now.
Tim Rice Challenge.
Have you got her phone number?
Unusual taste you have, Tim. Well, we enjoyed Tim's interjection, so we give him a bonus point for that. But Jenny was interrupted,
yes,
so she gets a point for being interrupted and keeps the subject with 51 seconds still available. Jane Austen, Jenny, starting now.
Ginger Platts, you should have seen her bully off. Down the wing she'd fly, pigtails streaming behind her in the breeze, until she got to the net, the goal where I was, goalie, fat girl, glasses.
Graham Norton challenge.
We've had fat and
yes,
girl.
Yes, yes,
I was getting quite upset thinking about it.
So you've got another correct challenge, Graham, and you have 40 seconds. Tell us something about Jane Austen, starting now.
I get a warm glow when I remember how much I enjoyed Jane Austen's Fanny in Mansfield Park. It was so entertaining. I picked it up not knowing how much I'd like it. But it really was terrific. If only I'd been able to let Jane know. But some time had elapsed twixt the typing and the reading. Jane Austen was quite dirty in that she lived in a bath, apparently. I didn't know till I read some study notes.
So Graham Norton kept going to the whistle wind, gained that extra point for doing so, and now I will give you the final situation. Jenny Eclair, who gave such a lovely contribution, such warm, vibrant contribution, she finished just in fourth place. Not very far behind Tony Hawks, who was just in third place. He was 2 points behind Tim Rice, but 2 points ahead of Tim was Graham Norton, so we say, Graham, you are our winner this week. Thank you to our four delightful players of the game, Graham Norton, Jenny Eclair, Tim Rice and Tony Hawks. Also thank Janet Staplehurst for helping me keep a score and for blowing her whistle so elegantly. We're also indebted to the creator of this game, Ian Messiter, and also we thank our producer, Claire Jones, who keeps us all in order whenever she can. And we're indebted to this delightful audience here at the Turner Sims Concert Hall in Southampton, who've cheered us on our way. Thank you very much for being such a warm, lovely audience. From you, from the panel, from me, Nicholas Parsons. Goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Hello. Oh.